football on Off the Ball.
There is an unpredictability about it. I mean, if there was a predictability about it, we'd all be drinking caipirinhas and daiquiris, as Pep suggested, but on Copacabana Beach, having just sort of taken the bookies to the cleaners.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Good evening, folks. Welcome along to League of Ireland late night. A huge night of League of Ireland action tonight. Apologies for the slight delay in getting us started. I'm currently walking out of Richmond Park. I'm delighted to say Shane Keegan is alongside me. Shane, I hope you're not walking out of the stadium.
I'm not, Ben. No, comfort of the couch and an absolute cracker and a virtuoso 90-minute performance from Boz before it very nearly all unraveled. Cracking game, and you got a decent performance by the sounds of things yourself.
I absolutely did, Shane, but I'll be honest with you, I'm at the moment, after speaking to Kenny and Cadoof, I'm a little bit more interested to see what happened in that Dublin derby, because as soon as the notifications were popping up on my phone, we all couldn't believe it in the press box what was going on. I did think Boz would win, but I didn't think it'd be as, I mean, it looked like they absolutely romped it, if you're going by some of the commentary that I've seen online. What did you make of it?
Yeah, and look, obviously the final scoreline then skews it, and you know, if all you've heard is the final scoreline, you're thinking, you know, obviously two teams going toe to toe and Boz just about shaving it. It was anything but. I mean, this was an absolute cakewalk for Boz, which is hard to believe, incredible really, when you look at the quality that Rovers had in their side. But Boz just so dominant. Some outstanding performances from, I suppose, from all the people you want outstanding performances from in a game like that. Dawson Devoy, Ross Tierney, Colin Whelan, right down the spine of the side. Hickey, I just cannot get over how well he has been playing at centre back for them since he's come into the side. Outstanding back there as well. Todd, I'm still, I don't know. I don't know if we'll have any Derry callers on tonight. They their game themselves raises enough talking points, probably without them coming across to the Boz Rovers game for Derry for talking points. But you look at Todd again tonight and you wonder what has gone on there that resulted in Derry letting him out the gap, because surely claim on him you would have thought.
He's still there, Shane.
3-0, I think, in a case that they didn't deserve to be beaten 3-0. And then, as I say, all breaks loose in injury time, but I suppose they just came so late that even as they went in, you were thinking surely there's a final whistle, there can't even be time for one more attack, and that's kind of how it proved, you know.
Unbelievable. It sounds unbelievable. Folks, any Boz fans out there, any Rovers fans out there, a little bit disappointed after the Dublin derby, please get your request in. Like Shane said as well, I'd love to hear from people in Derry. A huge night, couple of late goals there, and Sam Todd is a player you talk about. Pat Hickey's another one coming from Galway. Any Galway fans, any of the Connacht derby, please get your request in. We'd love to hear from you. Pat Hickey's one who I couldn't believe on the open day of the season, sitting up in the lovely cushy seats in the press box at Aviva. I had him nailed on to be further forward, and then to be dropped in almost like the Dubs dropping in a forward back in. He's been immense back there. Now, like, a Boz defence that's been unbelievable across the board, really. I presume it was much of the same tonight until the 90th minute.
Yeah, it was. And look, I'd probably agree with you with Pat Hickey. I'll be honest, I tried to sign when his profile hadn't quite grown as much as it had. He just had the season out at loan. I tried to sign Patrick myself, so I did. I was really, really impressed with him early on in his first year with Athlone. Fantastic attitude, obviously a monster of a young fella. And I thought I might be in with a chance, or I probably was in with a chance until the offer of football, and he's absolutely taken to it like a duck to water at Galway. He was very much a fan favourite there, and I still don't know if I expected him to do quite as well as he has done at Boz. I thought he might be a plan B option for them, Ben, if I'm honest. I thought he might be, you know, if they weren't able to break down a side by playing through them, that he might be lobbed in the 10 role, maybe, or something like that as a plan B option. But no, Rennie obviously has gone straight with him at centre back, and as you said, that all new pairing of of Pat and Todd has just been outstanding for Bowes, as has, let's be honest, as has pretty much the whole team so far.
Yeah, and I'm buzzing to go home and watch that back when I can. Just very quickly before we get some fans in, a couple of Bowes fans are questioning there, as I can see. On the game that I was at tonight, I mean, I went into this thinking Dundalk have a real chance of picking up a big away win here. Would have been their first win of the season. An absolute rout from St. Patrick's Athletic. Some really good stuff going forward. Ramal Palmer, I just spoke to Stephen Kenny there. He said it's his first proper game in a year. The third match week of last season against Sligo. Pat's very impressive. Any Pat's fans who are listening in, I'd love to get your thoughts, maybe a fan perspective today. And I can give you some thoughts from the press box. I'm going to get straight into bringing in some fans in here. I can see Anthony has requested to join, a big Bowes man. I know. Anthony, are you on your way to Dellyman Park?
How are you, Ben? How are you, Shane? Yeah, man. Been walking out Dellyman Park here. Unbelievable. What a game of football. Jesus Christ. Bowes never even got out to a gear there. Like, I don't know what yous are watching on the telly, but for me, Bowes are set in. They were calm as you like, and there was no. I know the last 5 minutes went a bit helter skelter, but even still, Neil Doyle let them have 4 or 5 minutes where they could pump the ball into the box. But Bowes were well worth their victory. And again, they didn't look like they went out second gear. Am I having the same sentiment as what people are seeing on the telly? No.
Shane would be able to answer that for you a little bit better than
Sorry,
I.
Sorry, Ben, I know you are.
I was in the stadium. I don't know if Shane's line is a little bit acting up a little bit. Shane, can you hear us?
I know, it's okay, Ben. That's 100% what happened. Bowes absolutely murdered Rovers. And there was like even, I don't know, I expected a bit more from Rovers today. They were good for the first 20-25 minutes. Bowes hit them on the break, but the Bowes looked comfortable. Like someone mentioned it last week, that or during the week on News Talk, that Bowes looked so comfortable when they didn't have the ball, as opposed to last season. But tonight was like, other than the last 5 minutes, we just leave that as a bit of an anomaly. We can all switch off. But a tour of performance by Bowes, but not really being the same as they were last year in the first game of Dalymount, where James Clark got a goal. There was no real like sort of eureka moment for Bowes. They were kind of an anti sort of a counter attacking sort of a setup there tonight. But I was disappointed with Rovers, to be honest. I thought they would offer more. I thought coming in as champions into Dalymount, last ever game on a Friday night in the old Dalymount, I thought they'd give it a bit more, but they were null and void. A poor performance from Rovers.
I was going to ask you that, Anthony, because I had kind of, to be honest, thought going into this game, I did think Bowes would win it. I didn't think it would probably be as comfortable as it sounded. Did you kind of think that going into the week as a fan? Did you feel like it was going to be that easy for you?
Well, do you know what I thought, Ben? I thought that, like, if Rovers bring their A game, they can beat anybody. But they're more of a kind of a team that grinds you down over a long period of time. So I thought, like, in a once-off game, I thought Bowes are definitely there. But what really kind of worried me tonight was, so everyone was waxing lyrical about Bowes, but the first half against Pats, they were poor. The first half against Sligo Rovers, they done well, but they never really put the game to bed. And then last week against Derry in the first half, they gave away a lot of chances. So although they've been very good, they have still left the door open for teams. But tonight it was a bit more of a kind of a, let's say, an international sort of a team performance, where they just closed down the space. Morning came in on the right hand side, and Flores dropped back into left back, and he just done all the tick box exercises that you want him to do. But you can't really fault Bowes there. Like, it was like they weren't pushed. It was like, oh, we just do this sort of plan C, plan D, plan E performance against Rovers, and then we'll just go about our business. They weren't pushed at all.
Shane, I think we might have Shane back in there, if you can hear us. I know he's the signal went down. I was out speaking to Dara Power the other week, and he was absolutely rare to go for this. I presume, did he pick up a little injury before the game or something?
Nobody knows, but that worried me, because I was on your show last week, and I waxed lyrical on the way home from Derry about Dara Power. Actually, as I was walking out, I met him. Him, James Taylor and Mullen, like, they're probably the three players you want playing against Rovers. So I did worry a little bit, but again, the lads just come in and it's seamless. So look, I don't know what way the season pans out. It's very, very early, but for a team to be that confident when losing three of their best players already, it looks good for Bowes.
It certainly does. And I was looking at the table there, 10 points, a couple of points clear at the top. The table is so funny already. I was just thinking, I was speaking to Cairns Gulduff, and like, Dundalk are second bottom, yet they've had a brilliant start. Yeah. As a Bowes fan, if you top the table, you win the Dublin Derby, this is the year to start dreaming.
Oh no, look, let's go easy on this. Like, we've went from fourth position last year, fifth position the year before. We can't get carried away. Like, I mean, they look like a different prospect, but everybody else is strengthened as well. Like, let's not underestimate the fact that Shells can go on a 9-10 game run and not lose a game. So can Rovers, so can Pats. Like, I wouldn't just get too overexcited. No, definitely not. And we all know, if you're looking at the game in segments, if you're looking at the league in segments, the first 10 games, the first 8 games, the second 8 games, we all have lows. So it's about how you can mitigate your losses, for me. How you can not concede and get the points when you're digging down deep. So like look at Shells there the last couple of weeks. They went away to Waterford. They played well. They got a draw. They haven't lost a game. They won again there tonight, as far as I believe. So you're looking at, when you're not playing well, how can you mitigate that? Bowes went 9 games last year without winning a game, so that can't happen again. So it has to be take every game as it comes and try and stay in the mix. But the goal needs to be maybe top 3 this year for Bowes. So let's not get carried away.
Anthony, you might stay on for a bit. We have Shane Kennedy on the line as well. You just mentioned Shelburne. Shelburne picked up a big win in what I like to call the Kevin Doherty Derby today. Shane, are you driving home from it?
Yeah, just on the way back from the M1. Just came here in the M1. Just before I touch on Shells, just one thing I want to say about Rovers is they're a completely different side without Ardy Gaffney. They didn't win the league when he was out for the whole season nearly, and then he came back last year. They had to sign him, so just to touch on that. And also, Dan Cleary, lads,
I agree with that as well, Shane.
Dan Cleary, lads, was absolutely terrible for that first goal, but shot awful defending. So when you do things like that, you're gonna give away the game. But can you hear me?
Yeah, have you there?
We were. Gave away a mad goal in the first half. A bit of a counter attack, and then they sat in. But to be credit to Joey, something that he's done since he came in, he's not like setting his ways. He switched it back, and something that Vinnie Peart to say is just keep football simple. And he went back to Detroit and tested 5 at the back of 3 midfield and 2 up front. And it just kept it simple, and we just dominated the second half. Sam Bowen came back in, and I actually know someone who goes to the same gym as him, and he told me at the start of the season that he looks slimmer. And if we can keep him fit, I actually quite like him. I know he's a bit nervy, but every time he plays, he hasn't put a foot wrong for us. And Paddy Wood is going to rival Dawson Avoy for the best player in the league this year. He was absolutely unbelievable. He kind of dropped in deep our second half and just ran the whole game.
As League of Ireland sentences go, Ben, I know a fella who goes to the same gym. Sam Bowen is the kind of phrase we love to hear. Is
that's perfect sentiment. That's exactly what.
Can I jump in there, Shane? You're way off the mark. The Harry Wood wouldn't lace Dawson the boy's boots, and that's the truth of the matter.
This is the sort of aggro we want, lads.
Look, lads, honestly, without, like, one has an 8-minute medal, the other one doesn't, so I think there's only 1 minute there for now, but like I said, I'm only messing. We were really good tonight. I don't know if anyone's seen our panel back. it looked, I don't know whether the laws have changed for the goalkeeper heading the striker. I don't know whether Dennison was near Sean Boyd, but I think he punches him and maybe he wasn't. I haven't seen it back yet, though. It was a credit to the referee, he gave it when the ball wasn't near them, I don't think. And then Kevin Doherty was sent off after that.
I saw the red card for Kevin. What happened there
with Doherty? I saw that as well when I was sitting in the press box here. Did something happen after the penalty got given, was it?
Oh yeah, 100%. I'd say he said so. Because as I said, it was more off the ball. It was a bit, I don't know whether the ball was near Dennison. I don't know whether you guys remember the Man United one. It's obviously the one I can kind of give an example for. I'm thinking maybe, I haven't seen it back, but I'm thinking maybe the ball wasn't near Sean Boyd or Dennison, and it wasn't like a general collision. That's the only reason why I can think of it, unless they changed the laws on that. And then I think maybe everyone was like, what's that for? Like, because it was off the ball, Dennison maybe completely missed it. I think, and then obviously Doherty had said so.
Yeah.
They must say that the time wasting from Ryan Brennan is an absolute joke. Sorry, not time wasting, diving. He tried to get Cameron Ledwidge sent off, and he was rolling around the ground for about 20 minutes, and then the referee came over to him. He knew he wasn't getting sent off, and then he just jumped straight back up. Like, it's, I don't know. You need to have a look at that one.
Shane Keegan, you might be able to attest to some of that when you were managing the league. Would you have ever stood for players doing that? I think Shane's dropping us again. Shane Kenley. Shales this season, Anthony touched on there saying, you know, Shales can go on a run, and like we saw towards the end of last season, win 5-6 games in a row. How confident would you be of what you've seen from Shales so far this season?
Well, tonight was a massive win, and look, it probably makes the draws recently that bit better, because that was a game maybe that people would have expected us to draw. So yeah, it's good going forward. And now the next four games, our Pats at home, I think we have Bowes on the Monday, then I think we have Rovers on the Monday, then we have Derry on the Friday, and then we have Bowes on the Monday. So I would be confident, and they're the games that we kind of do well in, but four back to back in like 10 days is nearly make or break. But yeah, look, we haven't lost. It's us and Bowes that haven't lost yet. Now, our injuries, and Ben got injured again, so Jarvis went off with a niggle. But yeah, we haven't lost, and our squad's massive. And yeah, Joey changed it up, and they'd have to be confident. Albeit, it's nearly, I'm going to say it's going to break a season, but it could certainly make it if you pick up a couple of wins in the next four games.
How much of a loss are Paddy Barrett and Oran Casey going to be at the back? And you're saying Ben went off injured as well today. Does that even make the back five possible?
They would be, but as I said, Sam Bone came in, we signed your man Valentino Rossi. We signed him.
Yeah.
He looks alright. Hopefully he should be glad, he might settle in. We're gonna hear who Sean Gannon came on tonight, lads, and he looked like the old Sean Gannon. He was unbelievable. Ledwidge was good, yeah. Shook his back. We're blessed that it happened in the window. James Roach came back in from down on loan, and look, he came on the last 10 minutes in an Navy match and didn't have much there, but didn't kind of put a foot wrong. So we're blessed that we did have the window open. I'm not sure what the story with Mevo is. He's a big loss for us. I'm just touching on that of power, lads. I'd be always worried when the kind of star that gets thrown into the wolves of the kind of media could have had a feeling he was going to be injured. So,
I was speaking to Darragh Power the other day, and he was absolutely raring to go for this, and he just trained. I actually watched the last about 15 minutes of Bowles training the other day. He was training, everything looked fine with him. I knew that.
Yeah,
Douglas James Taylor would be the only one that definitely was going to miss it. So I was a bit confused when I saw the lineup, but I saw Niall Moore in that right forward.
Rennie knew what was going on. The media were there. They didn't want him to be out, and then everyone goes, Darragh Power didn't train today. He was probably hobbling around the pitch. but
no, just on that, so Niall Moran was very good tonight. He was a 7, 8, 9 out of 10 there tonight for Bowes. He never put a foot wrong, and I wouldn't be his biggest fan in the world, but he was very, very, very good. They pulled onto his side and they tried to single him out, but everything he done, his distribution, he never gets the ball away. His covering, his heading the ball was 40 yards when it needed to be 40 yards. So Bowes were just solid there tonight. But yeah, again, we're missing a few fullbacks, and Monaghan and Flores got in there, and we're looking kind of good.
We couldn't really hear that, lads. I don't know whether that's my signal or Anthony's. I think
it's a bit about.
Before I go, lads, we've got
some mix error. We have
1 second before I go. Jack Henry Francis was out as well. Not too sure what the crack is with him, but he'd be a big loss. Caffrey came in and done well, but he got taken off at half time just to change it up. He'd be a massive loss. So we've had really bad luck with injuries. We've had 3-4 of our starting 11 are out now at the minute, as far as I can think off the top of my head. So look, the results aren't that bad in kind of that sense, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I suppose, look, if you're looking ahead, you're still fourth with all those injuries kind of coming into play. You're also only a couple of weeks into the season, so you've that as well. I think if you're in charge, you're in a pretty good space right now.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, injury's not great, but yeah, 5 points on the board after that, we'd probably have to take it. And as I said, the next 4 games are massive. I don't know how they ended up like that. 3 in a row, I suppose. The boys are shown in the middle there.
Shane, thank you, man. Stay home.
Thank you.
Man, are you able to hear me now?
I can hear you now. I've also...
Wi-Fi gremlins are playing havoc with me here. I see you managed to swoop Vinny to the rescue there as well, did you?
I've managed to get in another ex-League of Ireland manager, an ex-League of Ireland winning manager at that. Vinny, are you able to hear us? And we could have issues with both our ex-League of Ireland
managers. Can you hear me
managers.
Now? Sorry.
Well, Vinny, you're all good. I have you there.
Sorry, I don't know how this works still, so I had you on mute. Yeah, how's things? All good. Happy to come to the rescue every so often, yeah.
Shane, he's after bailing you out there. Vinny, are you on the way home from a match?
Yeah, I was in Dalymount, obviously, with News Talk, so we done the game live. So it was a brilliant game of football from a Bowes perspective. Obviously, we've got the drama in the last couple of minutes. It was just an outstanding performance from Bowes. I think it's, I know there'll be a lot of talk about the game ending 3-2, but the way Bowes played, they were absolutely outstanding. To see the two centre-halves do so well, they had to change their full-backs up, and Bolton Flores went in left-back, and Moran was really, really good against Brennan, who was dangerous, but... I feel like the battle was won in midfield. Devoy, absolutely outstanding. Adam McDonald's running power ran all over Rovers at different stages. And Ross Tierney, when he's good, he's very, very good. And he was outstanding. But, special mention, Colin Whelan was absolutely brilliant on the night. I'm not sure who the TV guys gave man the match to, but he led the line so well. I'm delighted to see him getting back to his very, very best. So, it was a really complete performance for Bohemians for probably 94 minutes, and then the gloss came off a little bit with those two late goals.
Yeah, Ben, they did give the man of the match award to Colm, and rightly so. Look, I think everybody knows Colm's backstory, you know, an incredibly talented young fella, you know, serious potential. Turned down the opportunity to go across the water because he wanted to complete his degree in UCD at the time, you know, I suppose was turning down the opportunity on the assumption that, well, sure, I'll get my degree done and I'll make the move in whatever 6 months time. And in the intervening period, suffered the first of two cruciate injuries. But it's shown absolutely incredible mental strength. I think I said here before, Colm, I know Colm since he's about 4 or 5, it's older, but they would have captained some of my underage sides. And look, Brian Kerr said on the coverage after the game as well, he said, that he always backed Colin Wheeler. He says he knows there was a lot of question marks around Bowes as to whether he was the right number nine, but Brian himself said that he would have always backed Colin Wheeler to fulfil the potential that was there once he got an injury-free run. And Vinny, probably the most important, impressive thing about his performance tonight was he just showed every facet of what you'd want from a nine, didn't he? Like, he dropped in at times, he held it up at times, he ran the channel at times. His assist for the first goal, I thought, was brilliant. He just gave an all-round virtuoso number nine performance.
Yeah, and that was the key to it. I think the way he led the line, he showed that little bit of nastiness against the two centre-halves when he needed, or the three centre-halves. As you said, he linked up, dropped in at different stages, but it was a bit of everything, Shane. He was a threat all night. And when you play one against, up front against the three, the job of the one is to occupy the three of them as best you can, because that means you have an overload elsewhere, and that's what he done. He was helped by the running power of Tierney, as I said, or McDonald, but he looks, this is going to sound, at his age, he's probably stopped growing from a height perspective, but he looks a lot fitter, almost looks taller, Shane, this season, believe it or not. And not that he was ever carrying weight, but he looks fitter because ultimately he's training regularly. He's able to train in the gym a lot more. So yeah, he looks a really, really good player. And I don't know, I think people are genuinely delighted for him, because it would have been a tough couple of years for him. Probably would have started to self-doubt himself a little bit. Is he going to pick up another injury here and there? But the sort of loss of James Taylor, ironically, with injuries and different things, has probably helped him a little bit, and it's meant they've had to rely on him and they have to play him every week, and he's got the benefits of it.
Vinny, because of the IT gremlins there, and they got bits and pieces of the two boys who were chatting before, but I know they did bring it up in conversation. Like, when the Bowes team sheet came out, and you see that they're down both fullbacks, two fullbacks who have been excellent for them over the first couple of games, I'll be honest, I kind of half thought that was the final nail in the coffin. I thought they were really going to struggle without them, but seemed to come through it. Like, the two lads seemed to slot in no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, you know Jordan, and obviously I signed him, and I think the word of Jordan, but I never thought he was a scrapper or a sort of captain material, and I don't mean that as a slight on him. It's just when he arrived, there was a big change from him when he came from Wigan. But what we've seen over the last couple of seasons, to be fair, is he's become a bit of a leader, and he scrapped away in that game, and he sort of won his battle against Danny Grant. And on the other side, to be fair to Moran, Brennan's a real threat, and only once did Brennan really get at him and get beyond him, and all of a sudden I think it was Hickey came from nowhere and just killed that attack. So both of them won the battle against their opposition players, and were a bit of a threat, particularly Jordan going the other way. So I agree with you, I thought that was a concern from Bowles, but I make the point one more time, I think he won the game in midfield. You can dress football up all you want, you can come up with different styles and systems and invert fullbacks and all of that stuff, but Bowles done the hard yards. Robert had a lot of the ball tonight. I obviously didn't see the possession stats, but I imagine it was close to 60%. But the high speed running, the intensity from Bowles, is ultimately what won them the game, I think. And they were like, if it had finished 3-0 and the game ended on 90 minutes, it was a fair reflection of the game, to be fair. They were that dominant.
Vinny, can I ask you about that midfield battle? Because I was at Rovers on Monday night, as I know yourself was as well, and I thought Jack Byrne looked really fit. It's probably the best I've seen him in a long time, but obviously Rovers see Dylan Watts as that number 8 in the centre of the park in the midfield. How did Bowes win that battle against them? Because like, if you look at Rovers from the outset, it's probably the strongest midfield pairing in the league.
Yeah, and so it horses for courses a little bit. I had a chat with a friend of mine on the way to the game, and I felt that he leave Jack out for Watts. Now, I probably didn't see Victor being the one to go in there, you know, but he did. And ultimately, what happened was, that's the poorest I've seen Healy play. I think he's been outstanding. Dylan Watts wasn't good tonight. And Victor, to be fair, and this is the interesting one for people, is that I felt Rovers players, the ones that really took the game to Bowles were Victor at times, Brennan at times, Noonan at times in the first half. So the young players were very, very good on the day. And a lot of the senior players probably weren't at it to the levels that would be required. So, but ultimately, to go back to your question, it's the running power. The game is, I keep saying now, it's a new phrase of mine lately, the game is simple. Adam McDonald, Dawson Devoy, Ross Tierney, they just ran all our Rovers in midfield. They smothered them at times, never gave them an inch, put them under huge pressure. And that wins you the game in the engine room. And then you've got to, then you, when you get it into the four areas, your Grant and Parsons have to do the business, and Colin Whelan, and they did. So it was just, it was a bit of a shock to see Victor playing in midfield. Physically, he looks like he's really developed in the off season, but he lost the battle in there, and it was down to that running, I have to say, and Bowles were just far superior than him in almost everything on the night.
I could see a couple of questions here to do with the Connacht Derby. We will get to you momentarily. Vinny, can I just ask, from coming out of that game, and I know you've now seen both teams this season, how good do you think Bowes can be? Do you think they really can mount the title?
Yeah, they absolutely can. And I said before the game, I was getting a little bit cocky after 90 minutes on CoCom, saying I called the 3-0, you know, and ultimately it didn't finish that way. What I felt with Bowes, I felt it was a huge game for them tonight. If they won, the momentum, the belief it would have given their players. Now, I think the two goals conceded, ironically, might be good. And Shane will know what I mean by this. As a manager, you can look at that performance for 90 minutes and wax lyrical about your players, but you can also walk in and go, unless you're at it, this league will punish you. So it gives them a little stick to beat them with a little bit, and a little reminder of where they're at as a club. But I have a fear about their back four, but it's been brilliant all season, so that makes no sense. I just have a fear. Are we going to see Hickey be outstanding for the whole season? Todd, I know, is a natural centre-half. I think he'd be fine. People in Derry would wish he was still at their club. And you see tonight, they're playing two effective midfielders, a right-back and left-back. So the only concern I have is, are they strong enough at the back to go and win a league? We're going to find out. But going forward, they're as good as anything in the league. Absolutely are. And if Colin Whelan continues to do what he does, Bowles are definitely in the title race. Absolutely. They won't want to hear that. The manager will play that down, and rightly so. But they're in the title race. They've been outstanding for the first four games of this season for me.
It's so brilliant to hear about Colin Whelan, because he's someone who we've been waiting for such a long time. And I know how good he can be in kind of a two striker formation up top when he has someone to kind of bounce off. So to hear that he was man of the match performance up top on his own is absolutely
brilliant. But the difference is,
Vinny,
tonight, sorry, no, I'll go on this one. The difference is tonight, I agree with you. That is a thing I felt Colin needed someone close to him. The difference tonight was he didn't. Mm-hmm. He led the line on his own, was comfortable leaving the line on his own. He's physically stronger now than he has been for a long time. I remember seeing a lot of him at UCD, and I thought there was a hell of a good player coming, and obviously those two injuries came. Tonight, he got his shoulders out, he got his elbows out, and he protected the ball very well. So I think we're looking at a different animal now who can lead the line for a team capable of winning the league.
Vinny, you could be bang on. Only time will tell. Thanks a mil for hopping in at late
Cheers,
notice
man.
There.
Good luck,
Vinny.
Before we get on to the Connacht Derby, because I can see we have Aaron here requesting to hop in, just touch briefly on the game, because I can't see any Pats or Dundalk people requesting. Any Pats or Dundalk fans, if you want to hop in and chat, we'd be more than happy to chat with you. Just quickly on the game there that I was at, and I spoke to Kieran Kilduff after the game, and he did just kind of say that's the reality of Premier Division football. You know, they've three games in the space of 7 days, and the first one is the Louth Derby, the second one is Shamrock Rovers away, and the third one is St Patrick's Athletic away. I mean, it doesn't come any tougher than that, really. I know they Derry before it. Over the space of 7 days, they looked really tired, Shane. They came out and pressed really well in the opening 15 minutes, which they have done in all their games so far. But then just that effect of 3 games in 7 days really looked like a kick in. And look, you'd know this better than me or anyone else in this chat, but they did. It just looked like that effect of maybe we're not quite fully up to the speed of the Premier Division as we thought we were so far.
Yeah, no, I get where you're coming from. And look, there's no doubt the 3 games in 7 days did catch up with him. Now, to be fair to Killery, he did his best to shuffle the pack. I think he might have made as many as 5 changes maybe on Monday night. But still physically and even kind of mentally and emotionally, like, to have back-to-back games against 2 sides of quality of Pats and Rovers, and that's then coming off the back of one where you're, as I say, massively emotionally invested in the game with the draw of the game. And then throw into it, I speak about the emotional side of it, because you've also got a scenario where all three of their first 3 games featured an injury time goal that changed the result in the game. So it's been an absolute roller coaster of emotions for them over across those first 3 games. And they probably could have done with another bout of bad weather and maybe got tonight's one off, because it was a bit of a stretch for them. But I think, look, I know there's glass half full, glass half empty take on this, because they haven't won a game yet, and you know there'll be concerns that they haven't won a game, 4 played and still haven't won one, and yet I think they've shown a hell of a lot to show that they have got all it takes to be in with a serious chance of staying in this division. They've played very, very well across those first 3. I can't speak for tonight, obviously you can tell us more, and maybe they just ran into a Pats. They ran into a Pats who really had to click, let's be honest, Ben. They obviously hadn't been going well, and the pressure was on them to deliver, and obviously Stephen managed to land that message during the week. But I mean, okay, you take out the Dundalk game, well, not that you take it out, but to squeeze a point out of that game when they looked like they were going to lose, then the other two, you know, you have the other two down as 2 bankers for them to be beating it. Let's be honest, you haven't down to be beaten by Rovers, you haven't down to be beaten by Derry, and they weren't beaten by either. So I think there's an awful lot of positives there for them despite tonight.
Absolutely agree, and we might get on to Pats in the next couple of minutes, but first we have Aaron here, who's been patiently waiting to speak to us. Aaron, are you on the way home from Terryland, probably in a not the best spirits as you'd hope you'd be in?
No, unfortunately I wasn't in Terryland this evening, but I was watching from home. But I'm kind of glad I wasn't there for the long, quiet journey home now. But yeah, bleak night. Really, just didn't offer anything going forward tonight. I think we had only 1 shot on target throughout the whole game. Just not at the races at all up front this year at all. I think the last time I was on with you against the Waterford game, I was saying we probably need a centre back. We got McHale in from Pats. He was on the bench there tonight, but McHugh played centre back. Thought he actually played well. He got sent off just near the end for a late tackle, but there was only about a minute to go. But other than that, he played really well. But just going forward, we just have nothing really going there to kind of threaten teams at all, unfortunately, so far this season. Like, we've 1 goal in 4 games now, which is a bit of a worrying trend when two of those games are against Waterford and Galway, who are sides that are kind of going to be in around you come the end of the season that you hope that you'd be creating a few chances against.
And was there any talk around the town, or has there been any names mentioned as an option at centre forward, or where are things at? Because like you have to feel for John.
Two or three days before the deadline day, Sean Boyd was being mentioned. I don't know where that came from.
Sense. Yeah, but that
where a lot of the rumours were kind of coming around. I don't know if it was a case of, you know, it actually was being discussed and it just didn't get across the line or whatever, but yeah, he would have been kind of your option at the moment. Other than that, like, with the window closing, change, you're looking at free agents, and that's a very hit and miss kind of market.
It is, but you're going to have to look at it. You're going to have to look at it, because, like you've said, it's hard to see that current group having enough to keep themselves in the fight, to be perfectly honest about it. And I feel like, you feel for John, because, and it's not that the club lied to him, I would think. The club were probably saying that it was going to take something pretty massive for them to agree to let Elding go, and maybe didn't think that something that size would come, and that he would probably be there maybe until the summer at least. And all of a sudden that picture changes very late in the day, and now you're clamoring fast and you're trying to see who you're going to hang on to. Like, I don't know, like if John had known that he was going to lose Elding, like, there's a hell of a chance even that you might have kept Wilson around, maybe, like he had done.
Yeah,
I know he
didn't
last year or the second half of last year, but he had shown some form previously for you. I mean, and then is it an extra punch in the gut for you to see the near neighbours signing a number nine in exactly the mould of the kind of player that you desperately need?
Yeah, no, that was surprising when I seen Perreault sign for Galway. Obviously, that wasn't, news didn't release until Monday morning, kind of, so I was surprised when I seen that, because obviously he'd be what we'd be missing, and you're kind of going, if he was available, why weren't we in for him? But, you know, even there tonight, Jad Hiddiki, obviously, he came off injured the last day, and he was obviously being rested for the first kind of 45 minutes, came on and started second half, but had to come off. It looked like his hamstring. So again, that's a big concern. You know, who, he'd be one of your players that would maybe at least kind of create you a few chances. But that's the worrying thing, Shane, is even though we are lacking that striker, we're not even creating chances for a striker to even get any chances to, you know, score from. Like, we're completely toothless. I'm surprised, like, with O'Kane and Fitzgerald, you'd think we'd create a few chances, you know, with crosses into the box or trickery wing play, but it's just not happening. Like, it's, you know, even I think if we'd Roy Gaffney up front there this evening, like, he'd just have no service. He might have to, he might get you further up the pitch and stuff, but we're not creating anything for anyone to get any chances from at the moment.
Aaron, I was looking at the bench there, and obviously Jad was benched because of that injury last week. Alex Nolan was on the bench as well. I know he started the first two games, and I actually haven't got to see a lot of Sligo because I've been at games myself, but has he looked like showing anything in the first couple of games? Because, I mean, we all know what talent that Alex Nolan can bring.
Yeah.
It looks like
he, it's funny because he's the one player other than Evan McLaughlin from Cork that I liked last year when I seen him live a few times, and obviously I was kind of happy that we signed him. But he's, as you said, he started the first couple of games, but his off the ball work rate wouldn't have been the best in the first couple of games, and I think he was dropped as a result of it. But like, he came on this evening and he just didn't offer much either. Again, he's probably one of those that is a confidence player, and unfortunately we're going to be in a scrap for the full season, and I don't know, obviously John Russell is that type of manager to get the best out of those type of young players, but I don't know, it's going to be very kind of messy and scrappy this year compared to last year. Like, last year, even though we got off to a bad start, like, we were still creating and scoring goals in the games that we lost. Like, even the first game of the season against Waterford, we lost 3-2 at home. But we, you know, even though we scored two goals, we could have scored four or five more that night. Like, McMullen in goals was very good for Waterford that night. But, like, again, as I said, we've only scored 1-4 this year so far. And, like, I think in the last two games, we've only had two shots on target in total. So, like, it's massive concerns there.
We're pointing out the goal you conceded. I mean, that was an absolutely cracking goal by Galway, in fairness. The initial run by Bulger was outstanding. He looked like he was going nowhere and then manages to skip inside. Now, I think John will be very disappointed that he was allowed to skip inside, but once he plays it across the box, the 1-2 between Jimmy and Bulchi was top class, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. No, I have to say Walsh done very well for Galway tonight. just for constantly kind of harassing, even though sometimes he was chasing down lost causes, he done a good job of kind of just harassing McHugh and McElroy and just kind of causing them a nuisance. And we're kind of just lacking that at the moment. Like that kind of player with a bit of experience. Like Traore is only new to the league, he just kind of looks lost up there. And Kavanagh just has unfortunately never got going at Sligo. And I think he was sick last week, came on very late today, but sometimes he has good games and then sometimes he just goes completely missing as well. And if there are your two strikers, it's just not a good sign that you're going to be dependent on those two to kind of get you out of trouble. So yeah, it's worrying times. And then obviously next week with Drogheda at home, like obviously they'll have no fans, but with the performances so far, the home attendance will probably be down as well, so it'll be a bit of a gloomy atmosphere, I think, at the showgrounds next week.
Seeing that Ed McCarthy miss, you were lucky not to be beaten slightly more comprehensively.
Oh, 100%. Like that's the myth of the season. Like I don't know I don't know how he just didn't tap it in. Like I don't know why he went for so much power there, but yeah.
Aaron, just quickly before we let you go, a lot of this chat has been very, very doom and gloom, which is quite understandable after the opening few games. How confident are you, if at all, that you can stay up this season?
I hate to keep the doom and gloom going, but like last week and the week four, against Bowes, like it's the first time I've kind of, like the last few years, I've always kind of felt that we'd get out of it, that I'd seen enough. Like as I was saying, like last year, even though we got off to a bad start, we were still creating chances, still scoring goals, and then obviously the summer recruitment helped massively, getting the likes of McLean in and stuff, but the foundations were there to kind of get us out of there. And obviously you had a star player like Elding, where this year when I looked at the Bulls game, I just was like, there's just nothing to this team at the moment. And that, like as I said, Shane, there, like Elding was able to provide a spark out of nowhere. He'd get a long range goal from nowhere or something like that, or drive you, you know, beat three or four players and drive you up the pitch. We don't have that this year, and it just, you know, when you don't have that, I just don't know where it's going to come from. And it's a long time to get to June and July when the window opens to sign players, because by then you could be cut adrift. And I just think this year, I know Dundalk got a bit of a thumping tonight, but they've looked decent in the first couple of games. And Galway under Caulfield will always grind out results like they did in Shells last week. So that'd be your main worry. Like
Aaron, I believe Dele Alli might be available.
I thought he was signing for Bowes. No.
Aaron, thanks for coming on. Hopefully we can get you on next Friday after maybe a more positive
result.
Yeah,
no worries, lads. First thanks.
Cheers.
Shane, just before we wrap up, I don't know if you managed to catch any of the Derry and Waterford stuff. I mean, we were looking at this in the press box as we were going in, and Derry were making their comeback. I thought, surely they don't do it again. Surely they don't get the late goals again. And they
Michael
did.
Duffy. Michael Duffy to the rescue. What a man. You'd run out of superlatives to describe that man, Ben. He is something else. It's a pity we don't still have Vinny on. Vinny would probably tell you better than anybody. I mean, the dream for any football manager is a player who is high return and low maintenance, and they are very rare, because trust me, almost every high return player I have had has also been high maintenance. Michael is a manager's dream. He says nothing to nobody. There is absolutely zero ego whatsoever. Never causes an ounce of hassle, and just delivers when it comes to saving his team or pulling his team out of fire time and time again. And look, it was looking very hairy there. It was looking very, very hairy. You were wondering what was going to happen if that game finished 2-0. I saw I saw Dan, I think it was Dan at the McDonald at that game, and I think he might have been tweeting that the natives were getting very, very restless. But I mean, I mean, Michael's first goal is quite good in itself, to be honest with you, to keep his eye on the ball as well as he did and connect so well with the header. But my God, that second goal, Ben, is absolutely top, top class. Then he puts in the ball. Have a look at the third goal. Michael knows that's a goal from the minute it leaves his boot. Watch his body language. He actually watches it. He can see the angle. He knows he's put in a fantastic ball. And he's just saying, somebody, just anybody, touch that ball and it'll go into the back of the net. And he goes off on a little run then when somebody does get their head on it. He single-handedly won that game.
And he adds three goals, which puts him ever so closer to Aaron Green as the top active player. Top active goal scorer in the League of Ireland. And Aaron Green still playing, came off the bench on Monday night.
Aaron Green scored tonight, didn't he?
Jesus, Shane, this is how late I was trying to rush down. Our game finished early. I'm waiting there. When's Kieran Cuduff coming out? When's Stephen Kenny coming out? Am I going to get them before I have to host late night? That I missed that Aaron Green pushed himself even closer to 100 goals.
There you are.
Unbelievable. Very quickly on Waterford, because I know Aaron was saying they're one of the teams that Sligo would be looking to catch. They are only on 2 points. They'll be bitterly, bitterly disappointed to blow that
today. Yeah. I mean, that had the potential to be a massive result for them, because like Sligo, as you say, things haven't exactly got off to a flyer for them. You know, they feel it was points left behind last week with Podge missing that penalty. Really interesting to see the Podge let Tommy Lonergan take the penalty tonight. I mean, it's not like he's missed like he missed two or three in a row or anything. I as manager, I'd probably still be looking for him to take that again. But look, all's well when the ball hits the back of the net. But unfortunately for Waterford, Derry, and as I say, apparently Michael Duffy just came to life. And it's tough down there for them at the moment, themselves and Sligo. I think there's a lot more, even though Drogheda or Dundalk are kind of right down there with them, I suppose, in terms of points and that. I think there's been an awful lot more positives from Dundalk so far than there has for the other two, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Very quickly before we wrap up, I'll touch very, very quickly on Pats, because I know there'll be people giving out to me if I don't. But Pats were excellent tonight. Really, really excellent. A mix of Dundalk, maybe being a little bit off the pace, but really, really good from Pats. Ramal Palmer, he didn't last that long in the game, but he was brilliant when he played. He gets a goal, which is a really scrappy goal if you get the chance to see it. He has a goal, misses. Edmondson has a goal, misses. Edmondson has another goal, and it's blocked, and then Palmer knocks it in. But a couple of great goals. Johnny Morgan's first goal.
His fresh air swing was very funny. He's lucky he managed to dig himself out there by squaring it for the goal eventually.
I tell you what, Shane, he fresh airs it and he makes this face. I don't know if you can see it, and I haven't got a chance to look at the goal back, but if we could just see his face, we'd have perfect thing of it, and it was hilarious. But a couple of Johnny Hoare, his first goal since going back to the club. Zach Elbazetti gets a goal, but then he goes off injured, which is going to be such a big worry for Pat. He just can't seem to keep himself fit with that hamstring. And then Aidan Keane gets a goal at the end, which is huge for Pat's strikers, really, in general. The first proper striker goal from Pat's this season. They hadn't scored before today, then they scored four. But also for Keane to get that goal early in the season. I mean, we know how good he is, but to get it early, we probably haven't seen
Ben, or did he start?
Edmondson started with Palmer, so okay. He came on for Edmondson on about 72nd, 73rd minute. And he came on and got the fourth. Keane Levy was superb again. And don't worry, I spoke to Stephen Kenny after. His own Kenny was probably one of the best players in the park for Dundalk. Could have scored. He got tipped over by Joey Anang. But own Kenny will be getting his dinner tonight. Don't fear about that. We'll have post-match reaction up on Off the Ball socials. I think the Kieran Cuduff one might already be up there. We have Torna back home and the digital team is working extra hard. That Stephen Kenny interview where he does reference that on will be getting his dinner will be up as well. And Jonathan Higgins and Vinny were at Dairyman Park, so all the reaction from that will be up on the Off the Ball socials. Shane, thanks a million for joining me. Cheers, folks. We'll chat to you next week.
football on Off the Ball.
There is an unpredictability about it. I mean, if there was a predictability about it, we'd all be drinking caipirinhas and daiquiris, as Pep suggested, but on Copacabana Beach, having just sort of taken the bookies to the cleaners.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.